92.5 The Y. Radio that finally makes sense.
Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream Radio Show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream. Dare to dream, dare to dream. You can have everything, playing on your 12 string, going for the brass ring, baby, if you dare to dream. Dare to dream, dare to dream. Let your fears fade away and dare to dream.
Welcome to the Dare to Dream Radio Show. I'm Deborah Dashinger, and I am your host. And this is the best place on the planet to be if you want some inspiration and you want some direction how to go to your next place in your life. We all have dreams, and we are given them because we also have the power to make them come true. So along those lines, today I want to talk about hope. An attitude, and lighting that fire inside. You know, attitude is really our choice, how we act, how we respond to life around us. We can make lots of choices about who we hang out with. We can read positive books, choose to go to positive growth workshops. We can listen to inspiring radio programs. A positive attitude added to positive expectancy really means hope. So let's just say you've lost your dream. Maybe you've lost hope. It may be time right now, to recommit to your dream. To have hope, do take daily action towards your vision. Move in the direction of your goals a little bit every day and always have faith. You know, faith means without seeing something, but knowing it inside. And remember this, if you are alive, it's because the universe isn't finished with you yet and you still have a job to fulfill. So keep going because it's all good. Adopt that attitude. See the world through it's all good eyes. Stay positive. Tell yourself, I am born to win today. Today's my day. No excuses. The world is at my fingertips. I am healthy. I'm wealthy. I feel good. I feel great. My time has come and I will not be deprived of my dream. Nor should you deprive the whole world of your dream because it will benefit them too. Your gift is the gift to give out as your light. So let hope light a fire inside you and ignite your passion to fulfill your dreams. See what's right in your world. Take a look right now at what's around you and in you and see what's right there. Be bold, be strong, rediscover your dreams and start believing. Decide right now to accomplish the reality you prefer and let your hope light shine. Believe me, your best days are in front of you and your greatest accomplishments, they're ahead too. So propel yourself toward the person you are destined to become. I'm really excited about my guest today. Do you think you've ever dreamed somebody into manifestation? Well, I do, and I believe that I attract by that very principle. I wouldn't say that I'm someone who tends to watch commercials on TV. And in fact, maybe like most of you, I have a tendency to not want to watch them and go through them rather quickly on the DVR or the TiVo. But I want to say one commercial in particular about a particular brand continued to catch my eye. And that is the ones for the Fiber One cereals, especially. And every time I'd see that commercial, I'd laugh. And I'd say, my God, that is brilliant casting. Who cast that fabulous man playing the regional supermarket manager? Well, I dreamed him into reality because sometime later, a mutual acquaintance of ours said out of nowhere, oh, Deborah, I need you to meet a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He's this actor.
Sure. She sends me his information and we start chatting. And all of a sudden I find out, my God, it's the guy from the Fiber One commercials. That is just amazing. So I'm sure you've all seen them because they're so smart and classy and entertaining. And that's what makes this man so special, is that he brings that certain something to these commercials, which makes the commercials so amazing. And the product should be very glad they cast who they did, because he is a real standout class act. And he's also comedic. So who am I talking about? Why, his name is Ajay Mehta. He's an Indian-American actor, and you will recognize him because he's on Air, is Fiber One cereal. It's also Yoplait yogurt commercials. Ajay has also appeared in the TV shows Eli Stone, Without a Trace, The Sopranos, Sex and the City, The Young and the Restless, Cold Case, Numbers, Nip Tuck, CSI New York, and Royal Pains. By the way, that's just some. And also 24. And his film work includes Spider-Man, Son of an Afghan Farmer, Acceptance, Superhero, Looking for Comedy, and A Thousand Words. And with that, I welcome Ajay to the Dare to Dream radio show.
Hello, Deborah. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, pleasure.
Thank you for that wonderful intro. It was lovely.
It's true. And here you are. And that is so cool.
Small world, huh?
It is.
That our friend put us together. That's really something.
And I just want the audience to know, in case now, you know, anybody who's saying, what is that? You can go to YouTube, because in researching you, I found all your commercials also on YouTube.
Yes, I have. Actually, I've seen a few of them as well. And also people who are taking pot shots at the commercial. There's this little kid, which I think is rather funny, actually. He's cut up pieces of cardboard, and he puts it in the box, in the cereal, and he empties it in his cereal bowl. Cheeky little fellow, but he is funny, so I have to give him that, yeah.
So that's because at the end of the commercial, you were saying, cardboard, no.
Cardboard, no, delicious, yes. Exactly, precisely.
First of all, let's just talk about the commercial for a moment. How did you land this fabulous national commercial?
I had auditioned for this in, I think it was the summer of 2007. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we actually shot it. Must have been spring, you know, into summer. The first commercials came out and it was well received. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know is that they wanted to shoot another two. And it's just been on, and now my ninth commercial is actually going to air. In fact, I just gave you one of the new products. It's the 90-calorie bar, cereal, Fiber One cereal bar. And I think that's coming out next month, actually, about a week or 10 days.
And you said they've got a new
campaign. It's Think Yourself Thin.
Think Yourself Thin.
So they've got these two ladies, and, I mean, you'll see the commercial, and they are debating on, you know, what sort of keeps them in shape by eating this 90-calorie Fiber One cereal bar. And it's got 5% of your fiber, and it's got all the other nutrients, and so on and so forth. So
okay, I'm embarrassed to be a groupie, but is this the same two women who do the Yoplait yogurt?
No,
fiber?
That was funny, wasn't it? Yes. That was with, Kathy Justin from Desperate Housewives. That was a hysterical one. That was the first. Well, since then, there's been another Yoplait in between that, where again, you know, that's also very, each commercial that they do is very unique. So you never get bored. And it has a distinctive message in that. I think it's tremendous. It's really very difficult to shoot a 60-second spot, and it really takes a lot of art. And the ad agency for General Mills, Saatchi & Saatchi, that do the Fiber One commercial, are just brilliant.
Yes, and they also tell a story, and they're developing characters, and we're getting to know all of you.
Absolutely.
And the fellow who's always with you, is that a box boy?
He's my assistant. He's my assistant. And I think you've seen the one with the little girl. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of fun. And so, he's a great guy too, Fred.
Fred. So, Ajay, what do you think that you brought to the auditions that was maybe different than other people that won you that role?
I think so, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were seeing actors of different, like they were seeing white and I think African-American actors. And I think they were seeing some Indian, people from the Indian subcontinent as well. And I just suppose it's just what you do when you're at an audition. You do something that is different. It's maybe that one word, perhaps, that you say, and it stands out, or it does something to that for that campaign that really strikes the balance and it just, you know, says, all right, that's the guy that we want to use and that's the girl that we want to use. Mm. And I think that's really where I guess that's really where the magic worked.
Yes, magic indeed. I read the New York Times media and advertising section about you and the Fiber One commercials, and it says that your punchline in the spot, "Twigs, no, delicious, yes," makes people laugh every time. And according to Pete Johnson, the creative director at the agency for General Mills, you were their first choice throughout casting for the Fiber One spot. And he said, it is because Ajay's diction, poise, and gravitas allow you to deliver a lot of information in an entertaining and engaging way. And he made the point that you're not merely portraying the manager of a single store, but the regional supermarket manager.
Regional manager of the supermarket chain. I mean, any chain.
Why is that important?
Oh, no, it was just, it's a little joke, because when we were shooting the first commercial, the name tag that I had, they used my name, actually. They're using my surname, Mr. Mehta. And he said, yeah, you know, we're just going to put your name. I said, fine. So he's regional manager. And then I think when we came back, and I think one of the commercials, they didn't have the same name tag. I said, guys, I am the regional manager. You just can't demote me like that. It's a private joke. It's just a silly little thing.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes. We have a lot of fun when we shoot. I mean, they're so wonderful. The agency, the client also comes over. The director is wonderful. And the entire crew. It's just, there's so much energy and creativity, and we just have a great time just doing stuff. And then, you know, we'll do things, little things for General Mills. Let's say someone is leaving and I'll come up with some silly stuff. And, you know, that goes privately, obviously. You don't get that in the outtakes or anything like that. And it's just, you know, I'm having such a great time, honestly.
Well, let's go to your beginnings a little bit. You were born in New Delhi,
yes,
in India, and you went to two prestigious colleges and universities. And did you study in anything in particular?
I did arts, because I've always enjoyed, anything, subjects relating to that, whether it was literature or history or geography. I was not big on science. I started at a boarding school called Mayo College in the desert state of Rajasthan. It's the historical city of Ajmer. And then I went to Delhi University, to St. Stephen's College, which is also a well-known, renowned institution. And these were wonderful schools. And in fact, my batch, you know, they've just had, I'm dating myself, our 35th reunion at my boarding school in India. They just had that in January.
How many show up for that?
Actually, it was a big get-together. People came from all over the world. They got people from the States. They had someone from Australia. They had people coming from the UK. They had people from within India itself. I missed it because I'm working on a film as we speak. It's called Son of an Afghan Farmer. It's an independent film, and I'm playing an Afghani drug lord. Yeah, finally, yeah. The truth comes out, right? And I couldn't go. And I'm, you know, I was really sort of, but then I called them up on one evening when they were all having a get together, and about an hour and a half, I chatted on the phone. Yeah, I know, my telephone bill's going to be nice and sweet when I get
your cell phone.
Yeah, no, it was on my cell phone. It was my landline. But, you know, I was just going, and they said, oh, so who do you want to speak to now? And then, you know, and I'm talking to guys' wives and things. And it was just so wonderful to talk to people that I hadn't spoken to maybe in 20, 30 years. And it was that love that we have. It's a brotherhood.
Yes.
It's an old institution, historical traditions in Mayo College. It started in 1875.
Yeah, that's the one that's 132 years old.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And St. Stephen's, the college that I went to for my university, is also very old. But this was a very, very special school. The buildings, if you have a chance to look at the website, you know, you do, and you'll see we've got historical buildings. Our main building is made of white marble. It's our version of the Taj Mahal and things like that. But it's tradition. It's the grounding that you get, because those are your golden years. And I sort of sent a little speech out there, and one of our school principals also came back. We had one of our teachers who was a Brit. He flew in from England for this, which I thought was really nice and really special. So there was all that love that they had with each other, which was great. And that's what it's all about.
The connection. It's magical.
It's, you know, academics is one thing, sports is one thing, but it's all the other stuff that you get in education, which I think is most important.
And I understand that you and I share something in common. We are both born under the sign of Cancer.
Oh, you're Cancer too?
I am.
Wow.
And you're July 3rd.
No, 12th.
July 12th.
Yeah, and you are?
June 27th.
Right. Yeah. We'll skip the years, but...
We'll skip the years. Yes.
Wow.
Cancer children, sensitive, loyal, intuitive.
But yet the crabs, huh?
Yes.
We do get crabby occasionally.
Yes, we do.
But that's all right. Comes with the sign.
I have great balance with my Leo rising, so that's the spotlight part.
Yeah, we're good people. Cancerians are good people.
They are, aren't they?
They're good people.
Yeah, well, happy to be associated with you in that way. And your father, Lieutenant Colonel Baji Nath Mehta.
Baj Nath Mehta,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell me that again.
Baj.
B-A-I-J
Nath Mehta. He was the commanding officer of the 1st Sikh Regiment. It's a well-known regiment in India. It's an old...
I saw the pictures. Incredible. Yeah. Beautiful and so in sync.
Yep.
And he was a great influence on your life.
Yes, he was. I mean, one of the reasons I'm an actor is because he enjoyed it himself. As an army officer, he would do plays and he would direct, he would act, he would do playlets, he would write. He would do it in English. He would also do it in Urdu and I think in Punjabi, and my mother was also into it. My siblings, my sister, my brother, they all loved doing it as well. I'm the one the black sheep who decides to sort of become an actor. And it's quite a journey. It's been a journey all the way. I was 3 and a half when I wanted to be an actor.
Wow. So and you've always known.
I've always known, yeah. It's something that it's got to come from within, and you really have to be very passionate about it because it's a rocky road.
Yeah.
No matter how well you do and so on and so forth, but it is a rocky road and it's not your typical 9-to-5 profession or going into the corporate world, for example. It's not that, but it's a wonderful, I can't think of a better industry. I love the entertainment industry. I love being an actor.
Yeah, you belong there. Ajay and I also belong to a group called AWRT, American Women in Radio and Television. And you're not the only male, are you?
I hope so. All you beautiful ladies, why would I want competition?
Exactly. Well, it's great to have him as a member. And this group in particular, it's been remarkable. We've been together at a recent event, and I can say that he belongs in the business because you do press the flesh very well. You are very charming in a crowd and know
how to interact with
people.
Thank you. And, you know, on November 14th of last year, they did this wonderful charity event with the LA Regional Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And Fiber One, General Mills, actually donated Fiber One cereal and cereal bars, 10 pallets.
Mm.
If you go to a godown, I jumped out of my skin when I saw it.
Great service.
Yeah, that was really good because they feed, I believe, about 1 million people in LA alone, which I think is tremendous, and particularly now with the economy being what it is, it's sad.
Yeah, I give you a lot of kudos for that. I did see they had little videos out about all the celebrities that showed up to assist and the people in AWRT, and it was a beautiful thing, and I would love to be involved next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
the nice thing is that, you know, people can always go to the LA Regional Food Bank and work with them anytime. You can volunteer. Which I intend to do as well.
Beautiful. And your mom?
Yes.
Was she as well an influence?
Oh, very much so. My mother was, she was beautiful. And I don't know if I've ever shown you her photograph, but I will in a minute.
Okay.
And, you know, she was also into the arts very much. But then at the same time, she was also very practical because she realized what life, you know, has in store for you is not always the easiest, and you have to be very sort of practical. These are my parents.
I wish we could show the viewers.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's my mom and my dad.
Spectacular. Yes,
yeah,
she is beautiful.
You. And so she, you know, as my father was declared missing in war in 1962.
That must have been tough.
That was tough. And then she sort of brought us up, and she was a tough lady, beautiful lady, but she was very strong, and we needed someone
had
like
to
that.
Be.
And you had to be, yeah. Being a single lady and bringing up three children, you
not
know,
easy.
Wasn't the easiest thing. And, she was an amazing lady.
Amazing.
Lost her in April of 2008.
Wow, that's fairly recent.
That was recent, yeah.
Yeah. And thank God she was with you for so long, too.
Yes, we were all blessed.
Yeah.
We were all blessed to have her. She was wonderful.
And so, interesting. Then you left India and you moved to Hong Kong. Tell me about your time there.
Hong Kong was fun. My sister, my brother, they still live there as well. And I just decided that, you know, I'd visited Hong Kong in the past. And I said, oh, this is a good place to be. It's an international city, and it's different from any other Asian city. And at the time, because it was still under the British rule, so there was a lot going on. And I ended up working briefly on television, but then I worked for a radio station there called Commercial Radio, did a few acting shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thing that actually came to the States on national television was Around the World in 80 Days.
Peter Ustinov.
Peter Ustinov. Yeah. Ustinov.
What a debut.
Yeah, that was amazing. And that they were shooting a scene from, it was a three-part miniseries on NBC, and that aired in April of 1989.
Uh-huh.
And they were shooting a scene from India, and I happened to be there. And the casting director sort of brought me over to the director, Buzz Kulik, and I got the role. And that was my debut on primetime in the U.S.
What did you do? What was your role comprised
of? I was playing a Calcutta Harbor clerk with Peter Ustinov. And, you know, he was such a wonderful man to work with. Mm-hmm. Just the sweetest, just down to earth. And what a brilliant actor.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I mean, he's a great comedian, brilliant actor all along. And we had so much fun talking. And he was, you know, he would talk about India. And we would talk about all these little things. And it was just... I remember he said, you know, I'm an ambassador for UNICEF and I have a UN passport. So I said, so what does it say in the passport? He says, oh, in 26 languages, let him go. But, you know, that was Peter Ustinov for you. It's just so brilliant. I mean, yes, I mean, what do you expect a passport to say?
Let him go.
Let him go, you know, that sort of thing. It's so brilliant. Because he did a lot. He did a lot for charities and for children. And he had a very good heart.
Mm.
He was a good man.
What a magical start for you.
That was really nice. Yes, I do agree with that. That was a wonderful thing. And I remember moving back to New York at that time and, watching it live. And, you know, those were the video days pre-DVDs and putting it on, taping it on a VHS and things like that. So it was great.
And you moved to New York. Did you fall in love with it?
New York is such a wonderful city. It's, again, such a unique city. It's cosmopolitan, it's international, it's America, it's the United Nations, it's everything and anything you want it to be. I still keep my place there.
Mm-hmm.
My niece was staying there for a bit, just left last year, actually. She graduated from Parsons School of Design, my brother's
daughter.
Very
nice.
So that was, it's so wonderful when I go back to New York because you don't have to drive like Los Angeles.
Right.
And that's a big relief. And, it's everything is around you, your restaurants, entertainment, Broadway. I love Broadway. Mm. How could you not?
How could you not?
It was just, it's one of the best years of my life. I'll never, I always love New York. And I've also got a recurring guest star on a show there called Royal Pains that we shoot in New York. So that also brought me back last year, which was a lot of fun. Just being back and shooting around different location areas.
Oh, that's spectacular. Well, I'm from New York, so I have a great love for it, too.
We've got something in common.
That's right.
Cancerians from New York.
Exactly.
What more do you want?
European Cancerians. And I love it, too. It's got a pulse and a life all its own.
Yes. Yes, it does. LA is beautiful. The weather is fabulous. The space, and this is Hollywood, so this is the mecca of the entertainment industry. There's no question about it. And it's a different rhythm, which I enjoy. Because here I have a little garden, there you don't, you know. I mean, you've got to go to Central Park, right?
Right.
Which is so wonderful too, isn't it?
Or a corner florist. Next to the bagel joint.
That's right, exactly.
And you recently shot the movie Son of an Afghan Farmer, written and directed by Matt Levin.
Yes.
What type of movie is that?
It's, I think it's a very sweet story. It's just has a different reflection on Afghanistan.
Mm.
And it's being shot in Santa Barbara and near another place called Koyama, which they are replicating the mountains, the mountainous and the dry sort of desert area of Afghanistan as well, which is quite extraordinary because it really looks like it. Because, you know, when you watch news footage from Afghanistan and you see similar sort of backdrops. And of course, the good thing is that the money is in California. So that's also a very good sign. You know, we're hurting badly out here, keeping it here. And that's one of the big things that everyone's been going on about in the film industry, is to, you know, to do work here and to shoot more stuff within California if you can, obviously. And it's a story about a young Afghan guy who gets a scholarship to Stanford, has a sort of an affair or falls in love with this American girl, but then has to come back because the family is in dire straits. And he sort of comes up to me. I'm a drug lord and I have poppy farms, and he needs to work. And that's how I rope him into the drug business. And she, in the meantime, gets married and I think gets divorced. And then she comes to follow up on a story and they reconnect back in Afghanistan. So it'll be a very interesting film when it comes out. And I think for a change, not, you know, doing something more positive, showing a different side of an Afghan person.
A human side.
Right, exactly. Very because, nice. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we're so inundated with the news about the Taliban and the Taliban. It's all very negative. So I think this will have a positive effect. Hopefully.
When will it come out?
We're still shooting it. I have to go back again next month to shoot some more scenes because the rains were a little hard. And, you know, the outdoors and Koyama and all that, and those are farms. So that was all slushed up with all these rains that we've had recently. I would think by, you know, I'm not sure really, but I would imagine by the end of this year it'll be, and then I guess it'll also do the circuits of the different film festivals, depending on where they pick it up and where it goes. And hopefully it'll open. And so, you know, it's hard when you have an independent film to get theatrical release. It's not easy.
And
it's
recognition. Not
easy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I have another film that I just did, which finally had a theatrical opening in LA. It was called Ocean of Pearls.
How was the opening, by the way?
It was nice.
That was at the Lamley, right?
That was the Lamley Sunset 5. It was nice. And there I play a Sikh with a beard and a turban. You don't recognize me, but you can see the trailer. And it's the first film that's in America. It's the first American film, rather, that's actually showing an Indian Sikh as a leading man in an American film, which I think is also very nice. Because, unfortunately, after 9/11, they also took the brunt, a lot of the prejudice. And people also got killed out here because of post-9/11 and the fear that, you know, when you see someone with a turban, you think that they're Muslims and they're terrorists, but they're not.
Right.
And that's something I think America is slowly realizing.
Yes. Much for us to open our hearts to about
yes.
becoming one humankind here. And it's unfortunate that the certain people who are bent on violence are creating so much havoc for everybody else.
Yes, exactly. It's always the few. I mean, that's the same thing with this whole problem. It's just the few that mess it up for the rest.
And it breeds fear, and we don't want to do that. We want to breed hope for a better world, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ajay, I read this quote in an article that reads, Mehta says he often goes to auditions and gets the role because, quote, I have a sense about how they want me to perform. It's a formula that has got him guest roles. What is that sense you talk about and how do you employ it? Can you break it down?
I think what you have to, you've really got to sort of analyze that particular character that you're going in for and try to dress up. Wardrobe is very important. Something my late acting guru used to talk about all the time, Milton Katselis. And sort of dress yourself up in that particular way.
For the role
that you're going to play. If you're playing a doctor, then dress up like a doctor. I had something yesterday. I had to dress up as a doctor. And I wore a lab coat because he's actually doing surgery. But since I don't have the surgical outfits, I just wore a lab coat. To me, that was as close as it can be. And let's see, you know, what happens. Focus on what you really have to do. Each show has its own style.
Right.
You've got to watch these shows Mm-hmm. Episodic television in particular, you've got to do your homework, basically.
Yes.
That's the key thing. And, you know, just psych yourself up to what they're looking for, and also be ready as an actor, because you're trained for that, is to, if they want to direct you, get on the spur of the moment and say, all right, you have to be flexible enough to sort of do something else.
Right, throw it all out and
exactly, take the and just want. Take it on. And that's part of the industry that you're in, and that's part of the acting world.
Okay, so dressing with a suggestion of the role, and having knowing each program enough that you get the rhythm of it, whether it's comedy or drama, and how the characters operate.
Yeah,
and then obviously bringing in something unique that is you, and then being directable.
That's right. I mean, because after all, what they try to match, they have a picture in their mind, and they try to match your personality, your looks, with that particular character. Because you have to think of, when you're creating a film, is like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
And you've got different pieces and you have to fit them together. Or an episodic, episodic television, you've got your main characters are your series regulars, and then you have to match everyone else for that particular episode.
Right.
And that's how I see it.
Some kind of a film.
And so you've got to, you know, you've got to do your best to fit in that particular character.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, there's another article. Season. All these articles. And this one had a quote about you from John Coles, who directed HBO's Sex and the City.
Yes.
And it said, Mehta's extraordinarily talented. He has poise and added dignity and elegance to his role. He has a very bright future, and I know he is going to go places. In hiring Mehta for the job, we originally had a small role for him, but when he came in and read, we created this role for him.
John is wonderful to work with. He's a wonderful director. I mean, listen, who didn't want to be on Sex and the City? And
hello.
And even now, you know, people ask me, how was it like, kissing
Kim Cattrall?
And I said, you know, she's so wonderful. And I just felt that, yes, you know, I'm playing a Pakistani busboy, but it doesn't mean that you've got to create him in, you know, do a caricature. And just keep him as real as you can. He's got his feelings, and obviously he is enamored by this beautiful lady who's just been jilted in that particular episode by her boyfriend, who does a no-show. And, you know, he tries to get lucky with her. It doesn't happen, but at least I got a good tip, $20 tip, so that was fun. But, you know, Kim Cattrall was wonderful to work with. Mm. She's just, she's so together, and a lovely person, and just had so much fun.
Great on the eyes, too.
Yeah, she's amazing. And that was a tremendous experience. And that was 11 years ago, my God.
Isn't that amazing? They need to put you in the movie now, because the second one's about to come out. So,
yeah, I didn't get into that one, but that's all right. I'm sure they'll have other things happening. But it's, you know, that show has done very well for itself internationally as well.
Isn't it amazing?
It's got quite a following. Yeah, it's got quite a following.
Well, we're going to follow this up in just a moment. We have a few commercials to do. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more from Dare to Dream and Deborah Dashinger in just one moment.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas, and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. So when you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi there. If you are just tuning in, this is the Dare to Dream radio show, and this is Deborah Dashinger. Question, do you need to promote your product or a business? Well, contact Dare to Dream. You'll get excellent advertising rates, and we've got over 1 million listeners worldwide, so you will get the marketing job done. You can contact me at DEBBI at 925KYHY.com. Now, if you're just tuning in, after we've started, I'm interviewing the actor, Ajay Mehta. Ajay's website is www.ajaymehta.tv. That's AJAYMEHTA.TV. Or you can telephone Ajay's management at 213-388-0770. And we're back now with more with the actor Ajay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, the Season for Sharing event.
Yes.
That was the November 14th?
That's right. It was in conjunction with American Women in Radio and Television.
Okay.
And they did, that was one day, 3 hours of packing bags for, with, and you know, for regional, the LA Regional Food Bank.
Okay. And now that's going to be ongoing. That's like an every year event. And will the Fiber One Yoplait company always be involved?
I don't know if are they doing it this year too. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know. Because you know, it was for that particular event that I approached General Mills and my agent spoke to them, starting with the ad agency, and then they were so generous with 10 pallets of cereal bars and cereal. On that particular day, we packed a lot of stuff for the elderly.
Mm.
So that was really nice.
And if I may say, also very generous of you too, because you gave a lot of your time. And that must have been a tremendous event for you to give
on that
level.
Oh, it was the least I can do. It was one of I call it one of my best days in 2009 to do that. Because I think... You know, we all remember when we have to take things, but we also have to learn to give. And I think that's the least I could do for the elderly in Los Angeles and the homeless out here. It's really, really sad when
you
see that.
What an inspiration, yes.
Because then I think we really have to reach out to these people. I remember seeing the Soloist, the film, and I was totally shocked to learn that LA has got the highest homeless. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Because we don't see it the way we see it in New York.
Mm.
You know. Every other block is just different. And I just thought instinctively that, you know, New York probably had more homeless because being a city with such densely populated and so on. But it's apparently it's Los Angeles because of the weather.
Right. Okay. So they congregate where it's warmer and that's why they're often at the beach areas as well.
And yeah, exactly. And also downtown, I'm told.
Mm, downtown, there's a lot.
I don't get
that
often, but it's pretty sad. So, and I think, this was, and General Mills, last year alone, they donated $90 million to the community. They do a lot for education and helping people out. And this is like 5% of their pre-tax profits.
Mm.
So that was really tremendous that, you know, they didn't even bat an eyelid. They said, oh, absolutely, what do you need? And I put, AWRT in touch with them. Kim Spence, who's the PR, she's a friend, and so she had approached me.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put the whole thing together, which I thought was tremendous. And they got all these different celebrities in different areas of radio, television, film, and so on. And they came and they helped.
Yes.
They really helped. And it was an amazing 3 hours. And we packed in, I think, about 1,100 bags.
Wow.
It was quite a feat.
It is.
You know, and you don't realize till you actually go into a warehouse and you see all these food products that they have. And the other thing is that they are actually also looking into the nutritional value.
Mm.
So they're not just giving you anything.
It's not empty calories. It's really something of substance.
And, you know, Fiber One products speak for themselves. So
well, I can't wait to try my bar tomorrow.
There you go, the 90-calorie bar.
I'm
That's
thinking
right.
myself thin, honey.
Oh, you're doing fine, Deborah. You don't have to worry.
Speaking of hard times and things that people have to go through, how about you as an actor? You mentioned sometimes you have obstacles, sometimes, you know, it's bumps in the road. What has that been like for you? And what is it in your character that helps you to rise above whatever you've experienced to move on and continue to move into your vision of being the actor that you are?
For one, you have to be very passionate about this profession in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tough industry to be in. It's a tough profession. You're the product. And it's hard when you don't, even if you may work very hard to get a particular role and you don't get it for whatever reason. And sometimes it's not because you're not good at what you do, but it's you don't fit that picture completely that they have in mind. So my motto is, basically, I just think that I say disappointed, but not defeated. And that's what I use. So I may walk out of an audition and I may not book that particular job. And it, you know, it gets you for a bit. And it should. Because I think that disappointment propels you.
It fuels you on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's important. Because if you don't feel that, if you don't have that emotion going in your, and you think that, you know, a certain amount of arrogance also builds up because of the profession that we're all in. But that's really how I see it.
Disappointed, but not defeated.
That's how I see it.
Love it. I'm going to use that.
Please.
Absolutely. That's my mantra now.
There you go. That's right.
And what about directing, producing? Any aspirations?
I'm also looking to, I've got a couple of projects that I'm working on. And they're brewing as we speak. A couple of comedy projects because I like to make people laugh if I can. I love comedy. And let's see if, you know, they actually materialize because, again, this is pilot season, as you know, in January of every year. There's a lot of new stuff that's coming out, which is very encouraging. And so for all these actors who are listening to your show, I think it's a wonderful time to be in Los Angeles at this point because we were able to resolve a lot of issues with Screen Actors Guilds and that we had with the producers, and that took care of that. I mean, directing, I don't know, but producing, definitely, that's something that I'd like to also do because I think you have to be very proactive in this industry. You can't just wait for the next audition. So if you're working on your own projects or you become part of a production team or a production group that you're in, that also helps tremendously. I mean, you look at all these well-known actors, stars, celebrities, they all have their own production companies, whether it's Charlize Theron or George Clooney or Drew Barrymore. In fact, she's just done her directorial debut. I'm part of sort of a group called the Film Independent. They do the LA Film Festival and the Spirit Awards, and I see a lot of screenings there. And it's really encouraging to hear how each film is made because they generally have a Q&A after each screening. And you learn so much from these people. I remember when Slumdog Millionaire came out, and I remember Danny Boyle was there, and the actors were there, the lead actors, and I went up and said hello to them afterwards. And you know, they nearly went to DVD.
Isn't that an amazing story?
Yeah, I mean, had Fox Searchlight not sort of, you know, saved them. And what a film.
What a film.
And it wasn't that wonderful last year that you had two independent films being nominated for the Oscars, Slumdog Millionaire and The Wrestler.
It's a huge statement.
And I went for both the screenings and I sat through the Q&As. Darren Aronofsky was also a brilliant director who did The Wrestler and so on and so forth. So that was, it's really encouraging. And I think the internet has also opened up. It's cyberspace is unlimited. Webisodes are becoming popular, which I think is wonderful.
Yes.
And that's another source of entertainment. And you could be anywhere. And you could watch it on, you know, on your iPhone or on the internet, any part of the world. You don't have to wait for it to air at a particular time. You don't have to DVR or TiVo it and so on and so forth. And that is also another area which is building up.
Indeed. They're about to launch a platform right now that includes, it's one system that integrates computer, television, and all the social media sites. So basically everything you go to that's independent, your cell, your PDA, your computer, it's one unit.
I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. And now I think Apple just came out with a iPad.
Yes.
Which is also exciting.
Yes. I can't wait to see that. I hear it's as thin as a piece of paper.
It's about half an inch, I'm told. I think that'll be exciting because it's a bigger screen. So if you can watch things on that, which will be so much nicer. And like you said, if you can integrate everything into one.
Yeah.
Rather than having to carry 20 different things. I mean, a cell phone is important because you need that. And, you know, can you imagine what we did without one? We still got around.
I think we had a more peaceful life, personally.
I think it's, you know, but it's like, you know, now you can't live without them.
Yeah.
And I think it helps in a place like LA because of the distances that we have and, you know, if you're out somewhere and your car has a breakdown or something, at least you have a cell phone to call for help.
That's why I got my cell. That was the only reason I budged when I first got a cell phone, just for emergencies. And then, you know, before you know it, you're making all sorts of phone calls and handling things.
And it's just so much fun, too. Yeah. And while I was waiting for you, I was playing on, the blackjack games on one of my apps. Yeah, I'm trying to perfect that. I enjoy that, too.
I'm a solitaire girl.
You're a solitaire girl?
I love the solitaire game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get really hooked into those.
That's the acting world.
Personal sacrifices? What do you feel like you've sacrificed?
I think it takes a lot out of you. It does. Because you have to give yourself 100% to anything that you do. Especially something that's in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that even with well-known politicians and leaders and so on and so forth, and it takes its toll on your life. But the way you then have to weigh, then you have to just, you know, you have to figure out a way of balancing your life with your personal life and your professional life. And sometimes that's not always the easiest, because they do overlap all the time. You know, this is not a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
You could be on location at 6:30 in the morning and you may not get out there till 7 or 8 in the evening. Things can happen. Things can go wrong. And you just have to be there and you have to bear that.
Mm.
And if you have someone waiting at home for you, that can be hard.
Right.
And they have to be very understanding.
Yes.
So,
because there'll be other times when you're there all the time.
That's right. Exactly.
Go get a job.
Exactly. And that, I think, in an actor's life, relationships are so important.
Mm.
And you really, really have to get someone who can understand the world that you live in. And, you know, especially if they're not from the entertainment industry. Sometimes that's better.
A better fit.
It's a better fit.
What is your definition of success?
My definition of success is when you do something in your life that makes a difference in someone else's. Yes, money is important.
Mm-hmm.
We are all, we all love worldly comforts. Why not? And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the glitter, the glamour, and the wonderful things that come as an actor. But I think the important thing is what you do, what you leave with them after they see something that you worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's on theater, in the theater, or on television, or just a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these little things that, to me, I love entertaining. To me, that's my calling in life.
Yes.
That's how I see it. And if I can make a difference in yours, even if it's for a fraction of a second, then I think I've done something worthwhile.
You've succeeded.
Yeah. Brilliant. That to me is, that's how I see it.
Now, if I had your friends in the room with us right now, and I asked them, give me some words that you would use to describe Ajay. What would they say? What kind of words would describe you?
Oh, they would say silly. They would say a fun guy, a comic, a lot of drama in his life. I have some wonderful friends. I really do. And these are lifelong relationships, starting from school.
Hmm.
As I said, you know, I was chatting with my school buddies, and we haven't seen each other in so many, but we just connected. And that to me is very important.
And you have that in LA as well?
Oh, I have some good groups of friends out here. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to build up your network out here, because that is, you know, when the dust settles, when you're home, that's who you really want to be with. Mm-hmm. Is like your group of friends, and you want to hang out with them and do things and just relax and have someone to just talk to. On one, you know, as a group, or just a couple of buddies that you have. And you know, LA is, because it's so spread out, you may not see each other as often. Unlike New York, where you could just meet anyone in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know, hey, what are you doing? I'll be there in 5 minutes, mm-hmm. or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. That I do miss of New York. But then I've learned to create my own little world in LA.
Mm. A good world indeed.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So since this is the Dare to Dream show, and we're all about dreaming and future goals, what do you next dare to dream? What do you want to create in your future?
To be on a show as a series regular, be it drama or comedy. I'm happy either way. And to do something with that, to make a difference, no matter what the character is. Even if you're playing someone who's bad, it's good because it shows people what to stay away from. And if you're doing something funny and you tickle someone for that particular, that one fraction of a second, as I've said, then you've taken them away from their mundane lives or their pain or whatever they have that for that particular day. I just love to entertain, and that's really what I want to do. That to me is my calling in life.
What do you do for fun?
Oh, for fun? In LA, you've got everything from the beaches, and you've got also these wonderful malls, which can get a bit much after a while. I think just being out in the open, I like the outdoors. And Mother Nature has blessed Los Angeles.
Especially lately, after the rains, it's been spectacular. Yeah,
it really has. And listen, I mean, we shouldn't be complaining. Look at the weather on the East Coast. And I remember New York when we had 3 feet of snow and all that sort of thing. You're freezing and your heat is on and all that sort of stuff. Not that I don't use the heat here at night.
Do you have any hobbies, anything in particular that you love to do?
A little bit of the gym. I've been a bit slack on that lately. I like seeing movies. I love the business.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, there's a concert. I mean, we have Hollywood Bowl, which is so wonderful. I like to attend things on that because that is so, it's so nice. And the evenings are so pleasant during the summer months, particularly, which is so nice. And just walking around, you know, just wherever I can. And going for hikes sometimes. That's a lot of fun. And that's the nice thing about LA because it offers you
A little bit of everything.
It's
very true.
Because, you know, unlike New York, where you had to go, you know, if you wanted a big garden, then you had to go to the Central Park. There was nothing really around. I mean, yes, you have certain parts of New York that would give you that. And if you had to go to the beach, then you'd really have to go out, you know, whether it was going up to Long Island or Atlantic, Atlantic City or something like that. But here, it's all pretty much readily available throughout the year.
And so what about your commercials now? Are you shooting any more coming up?
I always keep doing test spots for them. They come up with different characters. They use a storyboard. They try different things. So we've got a few test ones that I've done recently, a couple of days back, actually. The 501 90 calorie bar is coming out next month. That I'm excited about to see how that turns out.
This is good, America. We're going to bump up our fiber.
I'm telling you, seriously, every other cereal brand has jumped on that bandwagon, I think, ever since they did it. And you can see everyone's adding fiber in their product. I think it's basically trying to make America healthy.
And this is
Yeah, we really have to because it's taken a toll on the younger generation with obesity and diabetes and so on and so forth. So products such as this.
This is a good thing. And
yeah,
it doesn't taste like cardboard.
And it doesn't taste like cardboard. No, delicious. Yes.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And thank you.
What do you want to leave listeners with here at the end of your Dare to Dream interview?
I think believe and achieve is what I think they should do. Truly, you're limited only by your imagination. And I'm a firm believer because the world that I'm in, which is a combination of art and commerce, art is wonderful because you create that. It's so joyful. It's fresh. It's new. And then you have to combine it with commerce, which can be very hard. And I think, like you said, you know, that your show is the inspiration that, you know, don't hold back because today is so important. It's, you know, really don't hold back. And I've learned that as an actor. That's been one of the greatest lessons that you learn of being in the industry is that you've got to just keep going on because you if you give up, then you're just going to be left behind.
And you may be disappointed, but never be defeated.
That's right. Disappointed, but not defeated. That's what I say.
A special thanks to my guest, Ajay Mehta. Ajay's website is www.ajaymehta.tv. It's spelled AJAYMEHTA.TV. Or telephone Ajay's management, Sharon Carey, at 213-388-0770. I end today's show with this quote from Deepak Chopra. To have passion, to have a dream, is to have a purpose in life. And there are three components to that purpose. One is to find out who you really are.
to discover God. The second is to serve other human beings because we are here to do that. And the third is to express your unique talents. And when you are expressing your unique talents, you lose track of time. Remember, build hope. Attitude is your choice. It's all good. Feel good and know that your time truly has come. This is Deborah Dashinger. Keep tuning in. We love having you.
To comment or contact the Dare to Dream radio show, call 800-974-3747. Dial extension 817. Or email debbie@925kyhy.com. That's debbie@925kyhy.com. I always look forward to your excellent comments. Keep them coming. Listen to this winning worldwide radio show next week when I interview an inspiring guest who has turned their life vision into a successful reality. Dare to Dream is on KYHY every Friday and Wednesday, Pacific Standard Time. The Dare to Dream radio show won the YouPublish.com award for interviews with intriguing guests who fulfill their dreams and purpose. Check out all the Dare to Dream radio interviews at youpublish.com/Deborah Dashinger. I'm proud to be the recipient of the Featured Creator Editor's Pick Award. Or you can go to my website to review all archived radio shows. Listen to them at your leisure. Just go to www.deborahdashinger.com. That's DeborahDashinger.com. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dreams will manifest. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Shot to dare to dream your dream.